We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone U. My name is Paul.
Is Pablo?
No, it's Paul.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm Rob.
Some people call me Taken Flight, though. That's my Instagram name.
Yeah, I've seen that. I like that name, actually.
It's because I like to take flight, Rob.
Yes, I understand, Paul, as we all do, which is fantastic. We all benefit from your enjoyment of taking flight. And welcome, everybody, to episode number 282. We're so thankful that you're spending a few minutes of your day with us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, we definitely are. And I have to say, I appreciate all the comments and messages that are coming in. I also appreciate all the questions that are coming in at AskDroneU.com. If you guys have a question, be sure to go to AskDroneU.com. One thing I will say, one of our members who emailed me, which, you know, if a member emails me, I have to, you know, take it seriously because that's part of the rules. But
it is.
It is part of the rules.
Part of our
but
bylaws.
He said, you know, what do you make of this FAA press release that came out the other day? And I sent him a screenshot that I took of another guy on Facebook.
A guy?
Yeah, well, it was a guy's comment on the whole AIR Act in relation to the FAA press release. You know, the FAA press release is all about, we're going to see how we can get drones to fly over people and create a framework and a task force. I did say it would take a task force, if you remember.
I remember that. I was actually a little surprised. They're so focused on making it so drones can fly over people.
Yeah, you know, I'm really blown away. Like, why don't we just get the NPRM 107 done?
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of begs the question.
And add whatever they're talking about into 107.
Seriously.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think what it is, let me pull, I got to find this. This is bad.
They didn't
I
ask
can't
us, though.
Here it is. So, this was Ryan's comment. This is the FAA taking direct aim at the micro UAS amendment in the AIR Act. The amendment does not have the restrictions that the FAA wants, and so they are poised to preempt Congress and force their dirty regs ahead of the vote. Dirty. And a lot of people like that. And then someone questioned him, and he said, the FAA has no plan other than to preempt the passage of AIR with micro UAS amendment intact. The micro UAS amendment does not have significant restrictions, and the FAA's only plan here is to clamp down and railroad through regulation creation in advance of a vote on AIR. If anyone has a plan here, it's the Pilots Association, which is looking to keep drones out of the skies, period. And then two people below him said, bingo, and that had five likes. So it's interesting to see what other people are saying about this.
Right.
You know, I would have John Rupert come on board and talk about this, but I think the community at large has kind of already spoken, and it makes sense to me. You know, what can you dronies do to preempt the preemption? It's something I did yesterday, Rob.
Did you reach out to your congressperson?
I reached out to Stephanie Haynes, and nice. Stephanie is the assistant for our congresswoman, Michelle Lujan Grisham. And I wrote them about the AIR Act, and I actually sent them that picture, that screenshot, and said, this is the reaction from the community online. You know, this is what we're seeing. We are in support of the AIR Act itself. We would like to meet with you, discuss that, and hope that you guys can push that bill forward before this happens. And I said, remember, the FAA has defied Congress twice, and I showed both points in the lawsuits, and they're like, we see what's going on. We're not a fan of it.
They replied?
Yeah, seriously? Already. And
wow.
I have a meeting set up.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, guys, reach out to your congressman, reach out to your congresswoman, whoever they may be.
Yeah, and also really follow Paul's lead, because he is out there actually talking to these people. And so anytime we ask you guys to do something like what he just described, it's because it's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so it's not just
it's for everyone as a whole.
Not just words.
Guys, if we want to fly, we want to keep the freedom of flight, we got to work together.
Well, that just seems like I know that's not the point of our podcast today, but it's an interesting approach by the FAA to talk about wanting to make it safe to fly or make it allowable to fly over people as a way to circumvent what Congress is doing. I don't understand that.
So we would have to read the entire FAA press release, but what they're talking about, they do talk about micro UAS in the press release. They do talk about creating a framework to allow drones to fly over people, because I think they're trying to address the issues of Amazon, of Google. You know,
gotcha.
They want to have their own airspace. If you remember, John Rupert pointed this out in a podcast a while ago. He says, you know, what I'm worried about is the Amazons and the Googles getting a hold of creating this new airspace, which would mean, you know, as a drone pilot, you'd be able to operate up until 200 feet. No issues.
Right.
But you'd have to have a special certificate to operate from, say, 201 to 400, because that would be like the high-speed traffic area.
And that would be literally all of the airspace across the U.S.
Well, we don't know.
I mean,
know.
That's what he's talking about.
Correct.
That's what he's saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yes. So,
well, be involved. That's all we can say. Don't stay quiet.
No,
that'll
you can't.
Get you nowhere.
Evil only works when good men say nothing.
Well said, good
well,
man.
Well, yes. Anyway, guys, welcome to the show. We had to get that out there. People are sending me messages all the time. What do you interpret this as? What do you think? That's what I think. I like the fact that, you know, the Department of Transportation is really kind of leading the way in getting the FAA done, or getting the FAA to get things done, but why aren't we getting the NPRM done? You've already missed the deadline for that. Why not, you know, get that done? It doesn't quite make sense to keep going off on these tangents. I mean, just like what we tell people in the business section of our new book, it's like,
right,
you know, your biggest threat is the numerous opportunities, and you have to really find your niche and really hone in on that and make your revenue on that.
Hmm.
So
it's true. It's actually a good analogy, because if they would focus, they could get it done.
I agree.
But there's no focus, clearly. I mean, I don't know how they could argue that point.
Definitely.
Anyway,
guys, if you are turning your passion into profit, check out the Drone U. There's lots of coursework in there, lots of information to help you start your business. And really, I think the biggest benefit, Rob, is the community. I mean, that's what I really love. I love seeing the community. I haven't gone on today yet and responded to all the numerous inquiries that there are, because we started filming so early at 6:30 a.m. And I'm not a morning person, Rob.
Well, you're doing all right, considering that you're not a morning person. But yeah, you know what's interesting is we still have a few members that have not gotten into the community, and they are missing out, because like you say, that's where a lot of the meat of this community is.
Well, you know, it's just like when you go to school, you know, you stop learning when you leave the classroom. But if you have kind of a community of friends that you're working with because you're truly interested in those things, you tend to learn more.
Right.
So what this is doing is bridging the gap between the drone community of professionals and schooling or learning. So
yeah, no, it's a fabulous model.
It really is. Anyway, guys, make sure, again, if you have questions, upload them at askdroneu.com. Again, we've got a new website. If you haven't seen the new one, it's a lot better than the old one. Don't take my word for it. Take Rob's word for it.
Check it out. By the way, it is much faster. I know that was a complaint, and a legitimate complaint, by a lot of people on the past site, and this one is absolutely much better.
It definitely is.
Speed.
It definitely is. You know, one last thing I want to bring up before we get into the question is if you are following us on Instagram, one of the photos that we posted yesterday had over 600 likes, and it was Ariel Rihanna at Ariel Rihanna's photo. We will show it on the podcast here, but I love it because what it is it's a Boeing 727 that has been turned into a house.
It's very cool. I don't know if I saw that one, Paul, but I saw something similar, if not that one, on HGTV, is that right? I think anyways, and they did a profile of it. Really, really cool idea. Fun.
Very cool. Very cool. And a very cool photo from a very cool person in the drone community. So if you guys have some cool photos you want to share with us, tag us at TheDroneU. We would love to share them. And I'm sure the other 20,000 or 21,000 followers enjoy seeing them as well. I mean, I love seeing drone art, or as I like to call it, sky porn.
It is fun.
Anyway, yep. It is fun. So let's get into today's question. For some of you, it's cold. For some of you, it's warm. And for some of the lucky ones, it's 90 degrees and not that humid. Mm. And I like to go back to that. But for those of you who are living in the cold, which is a majority of the country, our question will really help you out in determining your ability to fly in the cold.
I have a question about the snow. Have you ever gone flying in snow? Like when it's snowing, it's not raining, it's just snowing. Is it too cold? Will my plastic blades just, you know, disintegrate in the ice? Yeah. You know, go out there and fly your red drones now, okay? Just make sure they got some snowflakes on them. You have a great day. Drone you is awesome.
All right, cool. So a really good question. Again, like I said here, even though it's kind of springy outside, it's actually going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. We did have snow just a few days ago. And a lot of questions come up when it comes to flying in snow. Obviously, it's going to be cold. You've got moisture issues. So let's just kind of start off generally. Paul, what are some of the general issues with flying in the snow and or the cold?
So this is actually a lot of information that we had gone over in a webinar back in November. And I'm just going to kind of follow up on some of the things that we said in the webinar.
Sure.
Understand, guys, you'll learn if you go for your pilot's license to be pilot in command under your Section 33. You will learn about how fog and humidity can ice up your carburetors on your engine, which is normally on powered parachutes, is a Rotax-type engine. And that can cause serious harm if you're flying because you could lose your engine. And just like how you can get icing on your carburetor, you can also get icing on your blades, mm-hmm. and they will freeze up and they will stop creating lift.
That's bad. That is bad.
Okay. Can you fly in the snow, though? Sure, for like 10 minutes. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So why only 10 minutes?
Because, again, humidity, moisture in the air, cold temperatures, icing on the props.
So it's that's from your perspective, that's the primary issue, is the icing on the props?
I would say
of the props?
That is a primary concern.
Right.
I would say another primary concern, though, is that if any of the electronics on your drone get wet, like the ESCs, you're going down.
Perhaps.
You're going down.
Right.
So now, if you happen to have a splash drone, nothing will actually get wet.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So if you want to fly in the snow, splash drone is definitely a way to go.
Seriously.
That's not a joke. Yeah. But I will say, if you are flying in the snow or you're flying in the cold, you know, be aware that ice will build up on those props. It probably won't take very long for it to happen. It depends, again, on the humidity and temperature. When the dew point and the temperature are very close together, that's when you're going to have the most likelihood of icing happening on the blades. So if they're, you know, 5 to 10 degrees apart, so if your dew point is, say, 18 degrees and your outside temperature is 25 degrees, the likelihood that your props are going to ice over is extremely high. So
that's actually a really good tip, because I don't think I've seen that anywhere, that that's something to be looking out for.
Well, it's funny, the things that you learn when you go for your powered parachute license.
Oh, there you go. So now, see, that's interesting, because now it's showing one of the reasons why you might as well embrace getting your pilot's license, because
I'm
trying
to.
A lot. I know. Kicking and screaming, but nonetheless. So you mentioned moisture getting on electronics, and one of the things that that I've heard about is maybe using something like Never Wet, but you were saying that might not be a good idea long term.
Well, if you remember, DSLR Pros put out a waterproof quote unquote drone a long time ago. And what they used was a substance just like Never Wet. I forget the Never Wet competition's name, but it is just like Never Wet. It is possible. You can literally fly your drone underwater if you never wet everything. The problem is that once you take it out of the water and you try to fly in the summer heat, Never Wet is also a thermal insulator. So your electronics are literally going to fry themselves from the heat that's caused from the Never Wet. That's the problem with Never Wet.
That's a big problem.
Yeah.
And it's not something that I've seen anybody else mention. Interestingly, is there a way to remove the Never Wet once it's on there?
Oh, that is a really good question. I do not know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
My old roommate used to play with Never Wet all the time, even has a YouTube video. It's like one of the top YouTube videos for Never Wet, where he never wetted his cell phone, and he put it in a cup, and then it was like He's like, oh, look, my phone's ringing. Oh, look, it's the gay guy from the bar. And he asked his friend to call him who was in the same room.
Yeah.
And that it was funny because that's what he put on as the guy's contact name anyway. So it was kind of a fun joke. But Never Wet does work for waterproofing things. But if you are going to fly in the cold, one thing to do, if you're flying the Inspire one, is buy those thermal insulators. And we'll have links to that in the show notes. When you get those thermal insulators, they have the TB47 and the TB48 stickers. Those will help insulate your battery in the cold. I think that's, you know, really important. If you don't have those, keep your batteries on the defroster in your car. When you're going out to fly, you know, make sure you keep those batteries warm. That's really, really important. The other thing, too, is that when you do fly, try not to fly in the fog or conditions, again, where it's more likely that you're going to have ice buildup on the props. Avoid hard landings. Again, keep the batteries warm. That's really, really, really important. Keep the drone warm. If you have a case of batteries, try to keep them in a warm area. Again, I talked about the thermal insulators. Another thing to think about is if you are flying in the snow, make sure to change the white balance because you're going to have an abundance of white. A polarizing filter and neutral density filter may or may not be applicable. I would say polarizing filter minimum. Again, if you have this Polar Pro filters or just the polarizing filter from DJI, both will work. Again, it depends on how much it is snowing. I would say also if you're flying the X5 Inspire 1, watch your exposure value. It's another thing to really, really pay attention to. John, what would you set your aperture to if you're shooting in the snow? What f-stop would you use? Kind of like F5?
If I was using a drone?
Well, if you were just shooting video.
I like to shoot low aperture, so I'd stack Kindies on there.
Gotcha. So you just shoot like F2.8 or something?
Yeah, I have the Metabone speed booster, so I can go to 0.7.
So you heard it from our producer. Our producer says he likes to shoot in low aperture with ND anyway at F2.8, but he's got a Metabone speed adapter that'll hit 0.7 as an f-stop, which is incredible.
So, you know what's funny about this conversation and where it's gone is I don't hear you. So basically, you're not concerned about flying in the cold. Like, you're like moved right on to making sure your camera is good.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. People love getting shots in the snow. It looks really cool, okay?
Yeah, no. I
just don't do it for very long because the chance
of
your drone going down is pretty high, okay?
I'm not being critical.
It's going to happen.
I guess one good thing is if your drone goes down and there's a bunch of snow, it's going to have a soft landing, right?
Yeah, you're never going to find it, especially
well,
if it's white.
Doesn't it make a sound? Anyways. So back to the props a little bit. Are they gonna? At what temperature are they gonna be at risk of becoming brittle? I mean, that's gonna be pretty probably
around,
closer to freezing.
I was gonna say around 40 degrees. Yeah, they definitely have the chance of becoming brittle. Remember, if you lose a prop, you lose a motor. You lose a motor, you lose the drone. The other thing that a lot of people don't think about, and if you are a photographer, you're a resident photographer, you've been a photographer for years. You probably know this. What should you do to your drone when you bring it back inside, Rob?
Dry it? I don't know.
That's the right thought process, okay?
Maintain it?
I will give you that.
Thank you.
No, put it in a big space bag, like, you know, they have those space bags.
Uh-huh.
Or a Ziploc bag, if they make a Ziploc bag big enough for your drone. Why is that important? Because when you bring the drone from the cold into the warm, you want to let the condensation build on the bag and not on the electronics of the drone inside of the drone.
That's a really interesting tip. So, or you could just literally like wrap it in Saran wrap or something if you want to get real rudimentary with it,
yeah,
right? But the point is,
I just got this image in my head of you wrapping a Phantom with Saran wrap. which would not surprise me. You would probably tell Tim to do it and Tim would end up doing it. But yeah, I could totally see that happening.
Anyways, the point is some mechanism for the moisture to collect somewhere besides the drone is the point.
Yeah, otherwise,
that's interesting.
You know, you can leave the drone out without a battery in it for like 2 or 3 days. You've got to let it fully dry up. So,
what about using, so in terms of maintenance once you come in from flying, what about using like a dryer or a fan to just make sure everything's, not a dryer, a hair dryer, to make sure everything is dried out?
I just
have you ever done that?
No, I've never done that. I'm like, I don't know if I would do that.
How come? Why not?
It doesn't really solve the problem of all the moisture that's built up on the interior of the drone. Hmm. So, like, you will still have condensation built up on the inside of it.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm talking about not, like, just blowing off the outside of it. I mean, getting on the inside.
I'm sorry. That was the image I got in my head. It was Rob just sitting there, like, wax on, wax off.
No, I'm talking about if you think it got really wet inside for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe you did crash, taking it apart and drying it on the inside.
You know, my cat loves to play with hair dryers. I could see you and he getting in a battle while you were trying to blow dry the drone.
Yeah, all right. Okay. I think maybe he's answering my question. I don't know what you guys think.
Oh, man. If you guys have questions, please upload them at askdroneu.com. I will say this. It's best to just use a bag. Just bag it. Bag cool. it and forget it.
Right on.
Again, especially if you want to keep that drone for a long period of time, I think that's, you know, really important. I'm trying to think of all the things that I wrote down here. So I guess that's all the tips I have for cold weather flying in the snow. I mean, you know, another thing that you can get is they have a little pouch that you can put your controller and your hands in to keep your hands warm.
Yeah.
I would recommend that. I personally have had fingers literally freeze up on me. No, while actually, I'm flying.
That's a really good point, because if your hands are frozen, your drone's at almost the same risk as if your blade's ice over.
Yeah. I've literally actually had a time when I was like, turn left. Turn left. No, I couldn't move my thumb. It was just too cold. So you can also get the gloves that have the fingertips.
Yeah.
So you have your fingertips still, so you can, you know, fly. You know, some people fly like this. And some people fly like this.
Mm-hmm.
I fly like this. And it's funny because I have people make fun of me who are like older pilots. They're like, oh, but you can't get the sensitive movements. It's like, look, dude, I fly circles around you. We'll have this discussion sometime when
I'm going to have you flying with your thumbs before you know it.
Why don't you spread your legs? I'm going to fly my Inspire 1 through them.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm kidding. Hey, I put one through a split post fence one time. So.
I have no doubt you can do it. I'm just not going to be the guy that you're flying through. Put it that way.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
I'm glad you trust me, Rob. That says a lot for the surfers that I film. So now I know who my true family is. Anyway, guys, if you have any more tips or tricks on flying in the snow or cold, put them in the comments below. Let us know what you think. We'll put those links for all those things in there. If you want those accessories to fly in the cold, again, keep those batteries warm. We've talked about the Pelletier device in previous podcasts. We've talked about a lot of things to help you keep your batteries warm. And if you're like Rob, you can also put your batteries in a hot jug of water to keep them warm.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, on that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. Special thanks to everyone who is a part of this podcast, AskDroneU. Special thanks to DroneU. If you know someone who's new and loves to fly or wants to fly and they're excited about flying, make sure they check out the Don't Crash course so they can get educated and master flight. Also, special thanks to Go Professional Cases. If you want a Go Professional case, use discount code DroneU15. That's all caps, DroneU15. Yeah.
How about those new pilots out there? Don't we have anything for them?
New pilots.
Don't Crash Course, maybe?
I think I said that.
Okay.
Don'tCrashCourse.com. I don't know. Producer's telling me he doesn't know. So looks like we all need more coffee.
I think we do.
Bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.